Remember last week we talked about this, that belief that Jesus is God is dwindling. You know, as you go through each generation, people that believe that Jesus is God gets less and less and less. So I did another graph, and this graph shows you how that, you know, the elders and, you know, those would be the people before the baby boomers, and how that they, you know, the consensus was about 62% of them believed that Jesus was God. But now when you move down, you're further and further and further, and where we are at today, that people, it's less than 60%. 58% of people that believe that Jesus is God.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. William R. Glaze, the founder of the Pittsburgh Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We want to thank you for joining us today as we present the conclusion of Introduction to Deity. We have been doing a series in the Gospel of John, Close Encounters with God, and we've said that everyone that Jesus came in contact with, that their lives were changed. And you will see that as we go through the Gospel of John, verse by verse. So thank you again for joining us today for the conclusion of Introduction to Deity.
We can make a man just as good as you can. And so God said, well, let's do it. And so God reached down into the earth, and he created the first man. He blew into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. And so it was man's turn. And man decided he was going to create another man. So he reached down into the dirt, and God said, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. Right? Christ created things out of nothing. Amen. When there was nothing here, that Christ was active in creation, and all things were created by him. So he was active in creation, but praise God, he was also active in salvation. It says, in him was life. In him was life. Jesus is very life himself. The Greek word there is Zoe. And you know what Zoe means? Spiritual life. That in Christ was spiritual life. Now watch, oh man, oh. Watch this. Wow. That before you got saved, you had bios life. That was physical life, right? You had bios, the physical life. But you didn't have Zoe. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Jesus Christ through the presence of the Holy Spirit came into your life, at that very moment, guess what kind of life you got? You got Zoe. You got spiritual life. Why? Because in him was life. That if you have Jesus, you have spiritual life. If you're sitting here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might have a spirit, you might be a spiritual person, but you know what? You don't have spiritual life. Because the only way you can have spiritual life is to have Jesus residing in you. And when Jesus resides in you, then you have spiritual life. Because in him was life. And notice this, that this life was the light of men. Look at your notes. Look at your notes. I said I wanted to read this. It says, and the life was the light of men. This spiritual life is the light for those who are living in spiritual darkness. This light gives understanding, moral insight, and spiritual vision. To further solidify this point, John says this, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. This light shines in the midst of a dark world and in the midst of the darkness of the human heart. Wow. That this is a dark world. Just look around at the evil in the world today. This is a dark world. And your heart was dark before you came to Jesus Christ. And darkness represents evil, immorality, death, and alienation from God. Darkness represents alienation from God. If you're walking in darkness, that's because you had spiritual darkness. You are alienated from God. Christ's light shines in the darkness. And the... Wow. This is some deep stuff, man. And the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehend means to overpower, right? To take down. That the light shines in the darkness, and when the light shines in the darkness can't take it down. The darkness can't overcome. And I don't know, maybe you're here today, man, and you're struggling with some sin that you over and over and over again. You're in darkness, and you need to let the light shine in your heart. That's why it's important, I think, for people to be in the house of the Lord. I really believe that. It's important for people to be in the house of the Lord. To what? To expose yourself to the light. Now, you can expose yourself to the light at home in your devotion. Yeah, that's fine. But you come. And you come to a place where the man of God, where the word is being preached, the man of God is breaking down the word of God. And that light shines on you. But if you stay away from the light and you stay in darkness, then you're going to be groping around through this life. You know, there was a man, he was driving along the road one day, and he saw these mules out in the field. And he stopped and asked, you know, why were the mule weren't working. And he asked, well, why are they just standing there? And the guy who was, you know, herding them together, he said, well, you know, they work in the mine. And when they're in the mine, it's dark down there. And he said, if we left them down there all the time, then eventually they would go blind. That we have to bring them up and expose them to the light so that they can keep their vision. Well, y'all didn't hear that. So somebody missed that. You missed that. You missed the opportunity to shout. You missed the opportunity to say amen. Right? Because if you stay away from the light, you'll be blinded by the darkness. You'll be walking in spiritual darkness. And so Jesus came to let his light shine so that we might have sight, so that we might see his activities. John lets us know that as God. Now again, keep in mind, John could have started out anywhere. You know, Matthew started out with a genealogy, Luke started out with a genealogy, other places started out with the birth of Christ, right? Look at all the places that John could have started. Where did John start? By proving that Jesus was God, is God, right? That's where he starts, right there. And so his activities in deity. And next we see the front runner, the proclaimer of deity. Look at verses 6 through 8. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so we see three things. That John the Baptist came from God. And so John wrote these verses. Why? Because he said, look, I don't want you to get confused with who I'm talking about. Because you can get the idea that John the Baptist is this light. So John writes, he said, because I don't want you to be confused. And see, that's the problem today, is that many people are confused about who Jesus is. And you got all kinds of thoughts, concepts. Some people think that Jesus is that great slot machine in the sky. That all you got to do is pull the lever, and that all of a sudden you hit the jackpot, and all the riches of heaven will be poured out to you, right? We look at Jesus as a heavenly genie, right? Some people look at Jesus and have other concepts of him. And John says this, and that's why we got to study to show ourselves approved. Because John says this, that I don't want you to misunderstand who I'm talking about. And so what does John say? That John the Baptist came from God. He came to bear witness of the light. But notice he said this. He wasn't the light. He wasn't the light. And you know, the problem is we got too many people walking around who are confused about who Jesus is. You don't have the right understanding of Jesus. And if you mark Jesus anything less than being God, you don't know who Jesus is. And so it's interesting that John said, he could have just said John the Baptist came from God, and John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light. He could have stopped there. But what did he say? He's not that light. He's not that light. We see the rejection of deity. The rejection of deity. Verses 9 through 11. Jesus was the true light, that light of every man that cometh into the world. So the light of Christ shines on every person. Now, it all depends what you do with the light. Either you accept it or you reject it. But the light of Christ shines. You can say, well, where do you get that? Well, in the book of Romans, it says that the Gentiles, who by nature don't have the law, that in their conscience they have an idea of what is right and what is wrong. Well, where does that come from? Christ shining the light. He's shining the light in their heart. And so if you accept that light, guess what? He'll give you more light. If you reject that light, that's it. I heard somebody say this. Light accepted brings more light. Light rejected brings forth night. And so Jesus is shining the light. And notice it says here, he is the light of every man that comes into the world. But the problem is that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Look at the notes. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. The God who created this world walked in it claiming to be the Messiah, but the people of the world totally missed it. Concerning the word world, the Greek word is cosmos. In the scriptures, it has three meanings. The world can mean the earth that God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It can mean the world of people. For God so loved the world of people that he gave his only begotten son. Or it can mean the world systems that are controlled by Satan. So I've rewritten this verse, and I've translated in another way, and it's right there in your notes. Jesus was in the world. That is, he walked on the face of this earth. And the world, this earth, was made by him. He was in the world. He walked on the face of this earth. The world was made by him. But look at this. The world, the system that's controlled by Satan, knew him not. Knew him not. And to make it so bad, he came into his own. And his own received him not. He came into his own people. The people whose line he came from. He came to his own people, and they received him not. The rejection of deity. Can you imagine that? The rejection of God. Wow. Wouldn't you hate to have to stand before God and say, God, I rejected you? There was a man who had a traffic ticket, and he was on his way to court, and he pulled up behind this guy who was driving kind of slow. And so he was speeding up, slowing down, beeping his horn. You know, that's the Christian way. No, slowing up, beeping, right? And finally, he passed the guy, and as he was passing him, he shook his fist at the guy. I mean, and they caught each other's eye. He shook his fist and went on and got to court, and he was sitting there, waiting for the judge to come out. And when the judge came out, you got it. He was the man driving the car. This man, he shook his fist in the face of the person that was going. How many people today are rejecting God, rejecting his word, shaking their fist in God's face, and one day they're going to have to stand before him? The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And y'all remember that old muffler commercial, right? You can pay me now or pay me later. If you reject me now, you're going to call me Lord later. The rejection of deity. And then we see the acceptance of deity. Notice what it says in verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But as many as received him, the Greek word there means that you lambano, you take it down in your heart. But as many as embraced him, that as many as embraced his deity, that he is God, that as many embraced his person, that as many as embraced his love, to them gave he the, and I like this word, the power. The Greek word there is exousia. And you know what it means? It means the right or the authority to become the children of God. You know, you ever see people that have NFL gear, right? Or Major League Baseball gear, and it's made by Under Armour or Nike. Well, guess what? The reason that Under Armour and Nike can make that gear is because what? The NFL has given them the right to make it. And so it says right on there, what? License. Oh, I'm going somewhere, right? It says licensed by the NFL or Major League Baseball. They give you the authority to reproduce that equipment. Well, there's a whole lot of people today that's walking around saying that they're children of God, saying that they are children of the Most High. And as old spiritual say, heaven, heaven. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Heaven, heaven. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of unauthorized. Let me throw a term on you. There's a lot of bootleg. There's a lot of bootleg Christians who haven't been authorized to become a child of God. John said, as many as embraced him, to them gave he the power to become. He authorized to become the children of God. And this is not a natural birth. Notice what he says. He says that it's not born of the will of the flesh. Well, you know what that means? That it wasn't born of the sperm of a man and the egg of a woman. That's exactly what he's saying, right? He said it wasn't the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It wasn't born because a man and a woman said, let's have a child, right? It wasn't born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but it was born what? Supernaturally of God. Supernaturally of God. And so that leads me to my last point, and that is the incarnation of deity. The incarnation of deity. And the Word, the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. That Jesus Christ, who was God of very God, wrapped flesh. That word incarnation means enfleshment. That he wrapped flesh around him and came to live among us. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt. The word dwelt is tabernacled. Jesus pitched his tent in our campground. He came to live among us. And John, I think John is bragging here, right? I think John is kind of bragging here. Look what he says. Hey, look. I think John is sticking out his chest. He says, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said, man, when God came to earth, that we saw his glory. We saw his glory. So again, my point is, and don't miss this, that John takes the first 14 verses of his gospel to prove that Jesus is God. There's a song that we sing at Christmas time. Mary, Did You Know? And I just went back and I started thinking about this song and a couple lines in the song. Look at this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Look at this. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Ooh. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of... Wow! When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy, heaven's perfect lamb, the little sleeping child you're holding? Moses, when he was getting ready to go to deliver the Hebrews out of Egypt, he said, God, who should I say is sending me? God said, tell him I am is sending you. Don't you know that that sleeping child you're holding is the great I? Wow. It's the great I am. Wow. And John takes 14 verses to introduce Jesus as God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of John the Baptist, It's Not About Me. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Introduction to Deity, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to Deity. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to Deity, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view the many other resources that are listed there. God has blessed me to author over 11 books, and if you want more information about how to obtain these resources or how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and financial gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. On behalf of our volunteer staff, we would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.